1 week ago, the New York Times, in a long piece, in effect said Michigan is the whole shooting match when it comes to the 2020 presidential election. It's all Michigan, according to the New York Times. Pennsylvania may go one way, Wisconsin may go another way, but however Michigan goes, the Times believe, at least right now, however Michigan goes, so goes the election of 2020. I'm not sure if that's true, but clearly Michigan has become a pivotal state in national politics, no question about that. Joining me now is Rich Studley, the president and chief executive officer of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, which is the most powerful voice for business in Michigan. Rich, welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. Clearly, Michigan is a critical state. We're in the middle of a very interesting two-week period where if you're a Michigander, you can hardly go to the grocery store without bumping into a presidential candidate.
That's pretty true. The debate's tomorrow and the following day in Detroit. Some 20 candidates will be here talking about everything under the sun, from free health care to free college to any way they can tax you and I more. There's been a hard left turn, to say the least, in politics. It's true for the Democrat Party in Michigan. We have an attorney general who is radical, I think is fair to say, that wants to shut down the Line 5 energy line and so much more, raise minimum wage. So many things going on. Michigan really is a petri dish of what's going on nationally as well.
Well, I think part of the challenge is that in many ways, national politics have become kind of a bi-coastal game. We are in the heartland. Michigan is still one of the largest states in the country. We have 10 million voters. We are the home of America's auto industry. So I do believe that we're on the edge of a lot of very important public policy debates and will be critical in the upcoming presidential campaign. Gretchen Whitmer is governor today because she ran a good campaign for governor. She was qualified for day one to do the job. We have some presidential candidates who are nice people, interesting people, but are simply not qualified to be the chief executive officer of our country. Gretchen Whitmer ran as a moderate, more extreme, more progressive, more liberal candidates lost when they went too far left. Michigan doesn't want to turn the United States into France, and we aren't going to elect a socialist president.
I think you're right. And I think that another indication of how pivotal Michigan could be, the University of Michigan is on the short list to hold one of the final presidential debates. And I think that's very indicative of how important and critical Michigan is as well. All this attention, Rich, is good for Michigan in many ways. I mean, we are back in the focus of the political conversation. I think that's good for us, don't you?
It's good for our state. It's good for the country. Most Michiganders know that when a politician running for higher office promises you more free stuff from government, whether it's free health care or free education or a government-mandated pay hike to $20 an hour, all of those things are very expensive, and it could cost you your job. We've had a couple of out-of-state candidates who know little or nothing about Michigan jump on the bandwagon to shut down Line 5. That's the flip side of a simple, straightforward campaign promise. As we've talked before, shutting down Line 5 in Michigan won't protect the Great Lakes, and it means higher propane prices, gas prices, and lost job opportunities in northern Michigan. So candidates need to be very careful about what they say because Michiganders and voters across the country are listening very carefully.
And as I say, Michigan is a case study, if you will. And what goes on here goes on around the country. For example, all of this talk about raising taxes on small business. Well, in Michigan, small business is the backbone of the economy here. It's true across the country as well. But you see a clamoring on the left. We have to raise taxes on business, on big business, on small business, no pass-through. We have to come up with billions of dollars more. It's discouraging in some ways, but we know how long it took Michigan to fight back, Rich. We were hit by that recession harder and longer than most states, and that's why we should be more reluctant to give ground, to cede ground to this far-left activism.
I share your concern, Steve. Here in Michigan, we've had State House Democrats propose a graduated income tax, a 97.6% increase in the state's maximum income tax rate on working families and on job providers, on farmers, on small business owners to 8.4%. That would be one of the highest tax rates in the Midwest. It's interesting that Democrats often refer to graduated income tax as a progressive income tax. I think that's because if it was established here in Michigan, taxes would get progressively higher year after year after year. So I don't think that dog's going to hunt in Michigan.
Well, you know, you see people, Rich Studley here from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, you see people, evidence every day, Rich, of people fleeing states like California, Illinois, New York, the high tax states. People are fleeing, those that can. So why would Democrats think, we want to do that for everybody else? We want to do that to Michigan. We want to do that to Pennsylvania. We want to do that to North Carolina. Why? Everybody's fleeing these high tax states.
A graduated income tax for Michigan would drive people to other states, especially those states like Florida, Texas, that don't even have an income tax. I think people intuitively know that when a politician promises you more free stuff from government, that's a very expensive proposition. And sooner or later, they have to push for higher and higher taxes to pay for all of that free stuff. Here in Michigan, we've struck a better balance with balanced budgets and good priorities. And I'm optimistic that our state will stay the course. I think we can show, contrary to Washington, D.C., that divided government in Lansing will work, and we can find balance and fairness. We've had a major breakthrough on car insurance reform. I think we're going to see progress on fixing the roads, and I think we'll see a balanced budget adopted in Lansing before Labor Day. The state government is a good example of fiscal responsibility for our federal government, which, Steve, as you know, is bankrupt.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that, of course. Again, the debate's coming to Detroit to the Fox Theater tomorrow and Wednesday. Yeah, Indiana's already gobbling up those refugees fleeing the high-tax state of Illinois. We don't want to add to the people headed to Indiana to make a living and not get the daylights taxed out of them. Rich Studley, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much. Rich Studley is the president and CEO of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, with his finger right on the pulse of Michigan, the Midwest, and the nation. We'll be right back.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in and out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.